this is what I am up to.
Excellent. Real pod.
Let me make sure that these are roughly even.
You're roughly even.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. Thank you for holding up the podcast.
With your hosts,
James.
Salsa.
And Jenna.
And our special guest.
Dave.
Hey, I'm special.
What happened?
I don't know.
We
were halfway through it, and then I went, fuck it.
Whoa.
We'll fix it in
post.
We're
halfway there.
This is for you.
Living on a prayer.
We need all the prayers we right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we have special guest Dave, as was mentioned.
Yay!
He's awesome.
He is special podcast winner guest.
Yeah.
He paid for this, you guys.
Sucker. I don't want one.
Yeah, that's right.
Why are you doing that to me?
You'll still get a sip, though.
Why are you?
We are
discussing
right now the drinks, and here we got a letter.
We just got a letter.
Dear Jenna, Salsa, and New Guy.
Oh, shit.
I finally sent this package.
Yay!
Make sure you find all three bottles of homebrew.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
And the six pack of cans. The bottles are a dry Irish stout I made.
Wow.
Please let me know if you detect any off flavors and your general thoughts on it. You can do on the podcast or separately. The cans are a Berliner Weiss from a brewery in Georgia with mango, passion fruit, and guava.
Yes, I see this.
And guava.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a little tart and very fruity. I get basically no bitterness from it,
like
so
me.
Hopefully Jenna will be able to enjoy it.
Aww.
I don't expect her to enjoy the stout at all. Also included is a Fast Five.
Ooh.
In case you're having a rough night, the questions are on the back of this page, blah, blah, blah. Finally, can someone please tell me what I'm supposed to assume the board is in Human Combat Chess? Has Salsa made that joke before? I feel like that's a joke Salsa would have made.
I feel like that is a Salsa joke.
Well, it is a joke that has been made many times by many people throughout the world. But
love and cashews.
Aw.
Troy Tretroy.
Yay!
Of Clan Tretroy.
Well, yeah. As one does.
So,
oh my god, yay.
Thank you so very much, Troy.
What's funny is that I will probably enjoy the stout better than the tropical thing. It's the hops that I don't like. And so the darker the beer, the less hops I
generally
taste.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay. Not a fan of the hoppiness?
No.
That one's for you, Cedius.
I'm not a hoppy person.
It's very Wednesday Adams of you, yeah.
You say sad, I say realistic.
All right, so let's taste these.
All right.
Oh, yeah, are we ready to taste these? All right.
I'm doing this.
Hey, when you clink, make eye contact.
Are we clinking?
No.
Okay. Dave and I are.
Yeah, I mean... Mm. It's way better than an IPA, but
it's pretty smooth.
It's still beer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sipping, James. We're just okay.
No. James is
James is done.
I'm very rarely a drink sipper.
It does have the mossiness of an Irish.
Yeah.
No off flavors that I can really detect.
No.
Pretty
no,
smooth. I mean that's pretty smooth overall.
It's actually kind of
sweet. Is it? I've got a Dr. Tiki, so.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
I just assumed the sweetness was
back done
from
for
that.
That is wholly drinkable.
Yeah,
yeah, very smooth.
Hold on.
Wholly drinkable.
There is, if I was going to give this a flavor, I would say there's a very strong dark chocolate undertone. Very, very cocoa-y.
I definitely get nice. The cocoa powder.
Yeah, that kind of a thing.
It's like a Nesquik.
There's that, but then there's also that mossiness, that kind of earthy thing going on too. So yeah,
makes my teeth taste good.
If I enjoyed things that had even a little bit of hops in it, that would probably be my thing. But
all right. Wow, yeah, thank you. This is quite good.
I'm going to drink this cider. What kind of cider is this again?
This is my black pepper cider.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
A little bit more her speed.
Yeah. Hmm.
Sorry, Troy. Yeah. What you been up to?
Oh, my God. I did a show yesterday that I forgot to plug because I'm a bad person.
Oh, yeah?
Honestly, I forgot entirely that it was a thing on my docket. Like, I remembered agreeing to do it.
Thankfully, I was about to say you remembered to do it. That's...
Oh, yeah. No, I had all of that. But, like, just I have been going so damn near day to day in just doing things over the past 2 months due to my insane, crazy schedule that I was like, okay, so what do I have coming up over the next couple of days? Oh, I'm doing Reverend Matt's Monster Ensemble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ensemble. Suppose I should write something for that. Actually, I had had an idea for what to write, and I had started writing a thing for it a while back. Mm-hmm. And then it was due to current other things events. Happened. Yeah, due to current events, I decided against going the direction that I had gone. So I did something else different. So I did a piece about Alicorn. Because the theme was unicorn, so
yeah,
I did something about an alicorn goblet, cup, vessel, what have you.
The vessel with the pestle.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. The flagon with the dragon holds the brew that is true.
No. The flagon with the dragon was dropped. It's now the
chalice
from the palace. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But the vessel with the pestle has a pellet with the poison.
Yeah.
So what I love about Reverend Matt's Monster Ensemble, very similar to Encyclopedia Show, is you're given a topic and people will come up with so many different things based off of that topic. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's absolutely incredible, the differences in things. Like, I did a piece about the healing properties of the alicorn, kind of. Like, it was loosely tied into that, and it was one of my patented genocide stories. But so I did this piece that was really kind of heavy and oof, and I think it was pretty good, but it was just like, ooh, buddy. And then I was preceded by Tim Wick, who did a thing about the unicorn apocalypse. Like, it was like, we were prepared for the zombies.
Yeah.
We were prepared for, you know, nuclear, whatever. But there's nothing that prepared us for the unicorns. And it was seriously delightful. And just the best chaser after my... Mine was like a half shot of, like, tequila. And then he just mellowed it out with everything else.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I messed up. For the Harbinger show 2 years ago, I totally should have done the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But they're not the horsemen. They're the horsemen. They're centaurs.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's a typo. They started leaving the hyphen out. And it's just never been the same. But
My name is Tony, and I am now here to behead you, if that's fine. Yeah.
As I'm Death.
Yes.
This is my pale backside.
Oh, God. Whoa. That was... That just happened.
People have been really into smacking my ass lately, and I'm fine with it.
Fair.
All right.
It's a nice ass. What are you going to do?
So I did that. Not smacking James's ass. Have I smacked your ass?
Yes. Recently.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're welcome.
You did my hair. You braided my hair and then smacked my ass.
Oh, good.
With the brush. I'm pretty sure. Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like... No, that totally sounds like me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did Matt's Monster Ensemble.
Uh-huh.
I did...
is that anything like Debbie Does Dallas?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
It is now.
I did a whole bunch of human combat chess. Is that which was delightful. We had audience members at our last show that made signs that had like the Phoenix logo on it and just like and John 3:16 written on one of them just because it's funny. And like it was delightful. It was so good. Oh God, they were good. Our audiences have been small but mighty.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Friday was one of my most favorite moments.
What specifically happened, Fred? Was that the autograph thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. By the way, listeners, if you come to see our show, don't do this. But
right.
It kind of fucks with the flow, and we are actually putting on a show.
Yeah.
But we had somebody step past the jovial heckler, in what ended up being a very good moment. But for the pre-show, we'll like, you know, we're doing warm-ups, and sometimes we'll like sign autographs or whatever, just, you know. And then during the show, one of the fighters lost his fight, and a fan, with his autograph, with the autograph of the person that lost the fight, like honestly found the perfect moment for it, which is the only reason why it didn't suck, but, just, and it like, it crumpled up his program and threw it towards the guy and was like, I don't want your autograph anymore, or something like that. Yeah. And it was just like,
and that's going to get written into the show next year.
But, and then, like, I think it was Bryn's character had an ice pack and just like, do you need this for that sick burn you just got? Like, you know, things like that. Like, it was delightful. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so we all played with it well, and it ended up being a really good moment.
Yeah.
But I do not, in general, encourage the audience very specifically throw things in our direction.
Right.
Because we have weapons.
Yeah, there's that.
And that it is... As loosely roped off as it is roped off for everybody's safety.
Yeah.
So yeah, it ended up being a great moment, and it was really funny.
Yeah.
But it's not like something that I would encourage.
Lightning strike
kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like everything happened to fit at the right time and all together. Right. But yeah. So
what I'm hearing is people should go and pick up weapons and then try to interact from the audience.
Oh my God, Dave. Dave.
Sorry,
you've taken stage combat classes. You know better.
I have. I've done well. Yeah. Stabby stabby.
That's true.
Yeah. Knifey stabby.
Knifey stabby.
Yeah.
Forky spoony.
And actually, very specifically, knifey for you. You taken more than knife or just knife?
No, I wanted to take the fisticuff one. Just scheduling and everything.
Right.
Sure.
But yeah, I wanted to audition for actually Human Combat Chess too, but just it's been one of those crazy years of
right.
much stuff going on, and I've
can't imagine
missed a lot of things. Oh, right.
Well, there's always next year.
That's the thing. Like
until there isn't.
We'll go to you in a moment, but I almost like just led. Well, let's do that. You were spending time with your lovely wife, right?
Well, yes. Sexy, lovely time with my wife. we're not talking about that one.
Wait, no.
What?
We're newlyweds.
Oh, yeah. Ah. Go on.
You know what? I feel like that musical interlude was more graphic than anything I'd possibly say.
Have you not been introduced to Fuckapella before?
Yeah, we are Fuckapella.
Actually, now that you're saying it, I was introduced once. It was a long time ago.
Actually,
and
no.
I faded in memory until just now.
Yeah, no. I'm interrupting our guest for a second because I'm that kind of an asshole.
You're on
host.
This podcast.
Last Thursday. Accurate. Last Thursday, I went to Double Blind for the first time in months. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hanging out with Kayla.
Sure.
Afterwards,
as one does.
And she actually has Fuckapella as her ringtone.
That's so fucking
And we
great.
Were trying to describe the majesty of Fuckapella to those around us. They're like, I don't... Kayla's like, nope, I've got this. And just played it. All the way through. The system is down.
It just makes me so happy. Yeah, you got to play it to the end.
You got to play it to the end.
Yeah, you've got to finish.
It was
you
on
can't
her,
just start Fuckapella.
Yeah, she has it as a ringtone.
Her podcast is where I last heard it. Yeah, that was on her and Eric's. Yeah.
Did I remember to release that as a ringtone?
Must have.
You gave it to us.
Yeah, you gave it. You gave it to us, but I don't think you gave it to our listeners.
I need to post that. Yeah.
Okay, that'll be in the show notes.
Fuck.
That'll be in the show notes.
You deserve.
Fuck Appella. That'll be absolutely in the show notes.
You're welcome.
I feel like I was going to do that, and I think I forgot. So
yeah.
if it wasn't in the show notes for the Die Laughing show a few months ago, then it will absolutely be in the show notes for this episode.
Cool.
So you were spending time with your lovely wife.
Yes, we were trying a redo of our honeymoon, kind of a thing.
A redux.
Quack.
So we did a nice Europe trip. Went to Berlin and went to Prague and went to Zurich.
Gesundheit.
As they say in Zurich. Because if you say Zurich, they're like, what are you saying?
Zurich.
And you're like, Zurich. Like, okay, you're allowed in now.
No, that's...
you have to spit before you can get in.
Your accent is a little too far north, honestly. It's Zurich.
Well, that is not what I was told, so...
What? Like the...
Then they're fucking...
There is nuance there.
They were very Flemish.
Actually was there for quite a while.
I lived there.
No, you're thinking of the Flemish. Yeah.
Well, this is the funny thing. It wasn't a guy who was from there who was telling me how to pronounce it.
He's
probably
like
wrong.
He was from Basel, honestly. if he was saying Zurich, then he was.
I love that someone says identifying the nationality of the person who told you how to pronounce.
He's still Swiss. Basel is in Switzerland.
Sure.
The cantonship, I think, is...
I feel like we've tapped into Salsa's like previously unknown geekery about pronunciation.
Oh, I knew about this.
Yeah,
I assume.
See James podcast long enough with him. Oh,
like, that sounds hellish.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Someday you will have podcasted with him for over 6 years, and you'll be fuck.
It's not as bad as the puns. I said that backwards. It's worse than the puns, but it's more insidious.
Accurate.
Scotchbringer?
Insidious.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So,
oh my god.
How has no one ever made that joke?
I don't know.
Oh. I just did earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
Insidious.
I did. Cidious? I said when you were talking about his booze, I said he's insidious, and you're like,
oh, we didn't.
Shut
I think it was too all. Subtle for us.
All right.
Yeah, it might have been.
Clobber you over the head next time.
Well, then this is Dave's joke. James, you must give it back.
TM. Oh, here. There you go.
Delish.
There's your joke back. Let me baby bird it to you.
Oh God, no.
Ew. Delish. Tastes like scotch.
Appropriately.
But yeah, I went on a trip. They had very unseasonably warm temperatures, and so I got kind of like scorched. And it's they don't really do air conditioning. They're just not a thing that people do, because it doesn't actually usually get so hot. But it was very
well,
hot.
You get some better breezes up in the mountains there.
Well, and in Zurich, you know, they had this lake breeze.
That had a fucking question mark above the umlaut. Yeah, it's fucking go on.
But this beautiful lake breeze that was just cooling, and they have lots of environmental regulations, so the water is just like pure crystal blue. It was a good trip. Probably worked in too many like sad places to go, because you know it's like, oh yeah, I'm in Germany, I'm gonna go and visit something involving the Holocaust, because you know I'm in Germany. Right.
As one does.
I feel like you
have to, because otherwise you're just an awful person.
Well, and that's a chance to see something that...
Well, yeah, but that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
if you have the opportunity, you should take it, because otherwise you're an awful person.
Yeah.
And I was also using a travel grant, so I had to kind of justify different things I was doing.
Oh, sure, sure.
As a, from a teacher perspective. So I went to, like, the Berlin Wall, which is... it's a crazy thing, because I'm of the age and generation that, like, you know, the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall and all these things were gigantic changes when the Berlin Wall fell.
I remember that.
And the people that we were visiting, they're friends of Heather's, so they're all, like, just punk kids. And they don't have a memory of a time when the Berlin Wall wasn't down. So it's like, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Times are changing.
Well, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how you've been pronouncing it. I've written with the...
Visual joke on audio podcast.
TM.
Becky
Schmidt.
When you were in Zurich, did you get to the Poets Bar?
No. No. I missed out. I have to admit that mostly we're going through Zurich as... as a travel hub.
All right.
And also just to say the name later is the only real reason I went through.
Just say Z-Town. We'll just...
Z-Town.
I was traveling through Z-Town.
So much.
But really, it's a great city. Zurich.
Yeah, I know. Did you like that train station?
Oh, a train station. The Zurich train station is amazing.
I like that train station. I slept in that train station one night.
Oh, wow.
I missed my last train home still and I slept filthy. I hoboed in that train station.
You know what? A lot of Europe train stations involve a lot of people who are missed trains and like are spending the night. I was actually saying that to Heather. We were taking a night train, which is actually... A night train is usually a great thing. Because you get to your you get to your train at 9 p.m., you go to sleep, you wake up, you're in your new city, and you basically...
It's time travel.
Yeah, it's time travel. But this one was really bizarre for some reason, because it was a real odd train ride. It was really, really bumpy, and I swear to God that they kept on reversing direction, and Heather kept on feeling like she was going to fall out, and so we actually did not get much sleep. We were a bit zombified.
We might have had to change tracks or something.
It was a weird thing where also it was speeding up and slowing down all night, but at like not a constant rate. So you'd kind of adjust. You're like, okay, so we're slowing down at this rate, and then they would speed it up more and then just slow down more. And it's like, okay, I just can't get my grip on this thing. But,
did the sleeping berths not have like a safety rail or anything?
They had a very tiny safety rail.
Uh-huh. Where were you traveling through, by the way?
This is going from Zurich to Prague.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zurich, all right. Prague. Okay, yeah, you were...
Which I haven't done before.
Yeah. Okay.
Most night trains I've been to are like through Spain or France or Italy, and they usually are just like smooth and you sleep through it.
You're not traveling through the Alps, though.
No.
Well, so there's, you know, elevation changes and things like that.
Yeah.
It's the mountain... paths are not as
zigzaggy.
They've got it. You've got switchbacks. You've got to ascend and descend and things like that. So you do need to speed up and slow down to change direction a lot.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, Heather has sworn off to never again do a night train, and I don't blame her because it was a rough one. But I mean, actually, the flights within Europe are way cheaper than they used to be. You could take it's crazy. Like $30, you could take a flight. Could have went from Zurich to Prague.
How many letters are you putting in Zurich?
All of them.
27. With a silent Q.
That Q is not silent when he says it. That's the problem.
I don't know. I don't know if any of you have seen Travel Man.
Mm-mm.
Yes, no, by the way. Okay, so we're going to talk about that later because that's great.
Sure.
But yeah, it's they start in England and they go to like Catalonia, and they go you know,
love their dressing.
Places like that, and they're like, airplane tickets, £39. And you're like,
what?
What?
Yeah, it's super cheap, and the flights are don't have a lot of people, so you got lots of extra space. Will be empty
it's
seats next year.
Yeah,
I just flew on Sun Country. Fuck yourself.
Well, I did that to L.A. Since I've been back to Europe, I've also done another trip out to L.A. Mm-hmm.
Times are tough.
Yes, and then they had the whole European time, though. Heather and I were like, oh, it's so hot, but you know what? We're going to go to L.A. and we'll be on the beach. We'll be thankful that it'll be hot and it'll be fine. And we get there and they have record cold temperatures. And it's just like, okay, fine.
Moral of the story, Dave's fucking up the weather.
So record cold in L.A., what are we talking about?
Like 60s. No, 64.
So perfect.
Right. Not for swimming, as far as I was concerned.
So
I guess you guys are
weather.
Minnesotans. Did you all do the polar plunge? I guess
I did not
many times.
I don't go jumping into water because like I drowned when I was like 7. Mm. So
no, fair. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a thing of mine. That's also fair. Cold, but I'd be willing to put up with that if it wasn't for the.
It was freaking cold. This last time was my first, and that was chilly.
Yeah. Chilly.
Yeah.
Weird when the lake is frozen.
Who'd have thought?
The water is
but it's still liquid, but you swear it's below freezing, and it probably was.
Oh, no. It's jumping in is not the hard part. It's coming out. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Oh, they lose half the people.
It was pretty easy for me to come out. But
just the bottom half until they get out of the water, and then
snaps off, yeah. Nope. So let's see, L.A. Oh, I went to, there's a cantina bar that I went to. A friend of mine, he used to be around here, Joseph Scrimshaw, but he's out there these days. Yeah, they're playing that nonstop.
I was holding that back. It was like a fart in church.
I was there for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Churches need fart cupboards.
They do.
Holy fart cupboard?
Batman?
Holy fart
cupboard.
Yes.
Dona Ace. Riem.
And the Lord said unto it, Noah, thou shalt build me also a fart cupboard.
Make it 23 cubits.
Oh my God. I suppose God would need at least 23 cubits. So.
And he farted for 40 days and
oh God.
40 nights.
And oh my God. The Lord saith, thou shalt not break wind in proper company, but shall do so only in fart cupboards.
Yes.
You know, my grandfather used to do the whole motion, the cross, but he would do it. He'd say, "Dones Padre, smell my fart," and he'd wave his hand. Yes.
And when they released the doves, and they did not drop dead instantly in the farty air, they knew that it was safe to return to land. Guys, we need to write a fart Bible.
And James did say, "Nay, 'twas not me, 'twas that pig."
Yes. Thus did he blame it upon the dog, and the dog ran off the cliff in madness. That was the pig, the legion. Yeah, this is already.
And that is why we cannot eat pork.
Wow, the mystery is solved. Yep.
That is why it's an unclean food.
James blamed the fart on a pig. That's right. It. We have solved.
Man.
God hates pigs.
That is what people don't realize it, but that is what was on the Rosetta Stone.
Jeez. People need to know about this.
Yeah, what they failed to do is to put the Rosetta Stone on a turntable and drop the needle on it, and it's just a long.
The James Rosetta Stone. It's just a poop.
Oh, that would be.
Dropped a Rosetta Stone.
I would need a diet heavy in fiber. Mm-hmm. All right.
The Dead Sea Scrolls were just
the toilet paper.
They weren't dead until somebody let out one righteous rip.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We are.
Yep.
So, listeners, if you've ever wiped your ass on a Dead Sea Scroll, tell us about it.
Is it break time? I kind of feel like it should be break time.
Feels like it might be break time.
We're broken. Even
said what breaking we wind time.
Oh, I haven't.
Neither have I, but all well.
I had more to talk about, too, but...
Oh, well, by all means.
Let's take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about shit when we get back. Pee break!
Yeah.
Where's the button?
We'll get this train to...
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. That's James.
That's Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And Dave.
I'm Dave.
He's over there.
Dave.
Fresh from Zurich.
So, Jenna.
Yes.
You were in the middle of something.
Like a million years ago. Yeah, kind of. No, the other thing that happened over the weekend was the closing of Caucasian Aggressive Fandas.
Yeah.
So, if you missed it, you fucking missed it.
Mm.
The run has been really good.
Boy, howdy, did you.
Yeah, Salsa got to see it closing.
Yay!
What are your thoughts on Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, Salsa?
Well, Jenna. let me sum up my opinions of Caucasian Aggressive Pandas. Whew. That's my review. That's my review.
Spelled like Zurich.
Yeah, exactly. it's just the umlauts are in a different place.
Right.
So the stress is on a different vowel.
Titillating.
I
get it.
This show has been something that has been kind of my black mark on my heart, because every time it comes around, I go, I really fucking need to see it, and I haven't been able to see it, and this time I fucking was not going to miss it. This show's really good. It's really funny, and there is a few times where the script grabs you by the throat and punches you in the gut and doesn't let you breathe. And that's a good thing. You've seen the show, right?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the?
Yeah, I saw it at Fringe.
Okay, so this won't make sense to anybody who hasn't seen the show, but the old man in the alley.
Yeah. Nope. Yep.
Oh my god.
100%. All day, every day. Holy shit.
It's like the scene is playful and you're having a good time, and suddenly something happens, and shit just. Like, suddenly this goes from a comedy to a very emotional monologue from Duck that is not going to go away anytime soon, that's for sure. There's a lot of emotion and pain and anger that comes out, and it's painful to watch, honestly. But one of the things that Duck is so adept at doing is pulling you back from that and going back to the funny again and finding that funny, and he's obviously got a great cast of people that help him do that. You know, Kessen can make a dour scene funny just with a look.
Or a basketball hoop.
Exactly. It's really, there is a, the term emotional roller coaster is kind of cliche, but it really, you do hit you. This isn't so much a roller coaster as you're running along and somebody punches you in the face and you get clotheslined and you're suddenly laying on the ground.
Yeah.
And it just full stop, boom. You're just, what the fuck just happened? And then you pick yourself up and you dust yourself off and you kind of, oh, okay, you know, and then you start to run along and you get, okay, we're getting momentum. We're getting, yeah, this is funny again. And then somebody clotheslines you again. you're on the ground gasping for air again. There was one line in there, where some characters are talking to Duck, and one of them said, you know, because for those that don't know, Duck is of mixed race. He has a black father and a white mother.
Yep.
And one of the characters asks, you know, well, have you ever considered yourself to be a black man? And he goes, well, yeah. And they go, have you ever thought of yourself as a white man?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, no. And it's like, For me, that was one of the most impactful moments of the whole show, was that, and it does definitely go back to that one drop of blood rule, you know, from God knows, you know, racism o'clock, where you're,
I feel like that clock might be broken and we might still be there.
I mean, it is pretty broken clock, to be fair, but that idea of you're only white if you are 100% white. And if you are even 99% white and 1% black, you're black.
And that's like a super American thing.
Oh, super. Very, 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 very much so.
And not
But that is the context that he lives in and that I live in and that this play takes place in.
Yeah.
And that, just that idea. And even during the talk back, I asked him about it, and I feel like I wasn't very good, because I couldn't really formulate my question. I couldn't word good, but I think they kind of understood what I was trying to get at. Is that idea of even him now having written that play and even written that line to, you know, really do a lot of that self-introspection and look at himself, and he's still, even after all of that, is okay with saying I'm a black man, but cannot say in his heart of hearts I am a white man, like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of history and self-loathing You know, like, even without... And I'm not saying Duck doesn't like himself, but there is that...
How could he not? He's adorable.
Exactly. But
fucking adorable.
You ducklings.
But you, like they say, you are taught to hate yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that... The fact that one side is like, yes, I'm absolutely this, and the other side, he's never able to bring himself, even though that is mm-hmm. the other half of him.
Mm-hmm.
That really stuck with me, and I couldn't.
Yeah, we live in a time now where a lot of lines are being drawn in a lot of sands, and a lot of them are gross.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, and being able to see someone's perspective on even just one aspect of mm-hmm. this is important, especially now. And even though it was kind of the same play that I saw, mm-hmm. 3 years ago at the Bryant Lake Bowl, I don't think it has ever been more timely. Getting to see it felt like a completely new, completely different thing.
And there were inside scoop. there are some changes that were made. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody about it, and she's like, yeah, like obviously when he's talking about when I wrote this show in 2015, like,
right.
Yeah, obviously that part's new. But she was like, yeah, and I could see where, like, you know, the Roseville chief of police thing. I'm like, no, that's always been there. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, no, that has always been a part of the show.
Hmm.
Even before, oh my God, I feel awful because I'm bad with remembering names, but the black...
Philando Castile. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That happened a couple weeks before the Fringe thing,
mm-hmm.
and it had a different feel after that. And then, yeah, to have... So yeah, like every iteration of this show has had a different feel, and it's been very interesting to be a part of that,
mm-hmm.
and watch the different things and the different reactions. There were, there was at one point for earlier versions of the show a line about Morgan Freeman, and we had to change that.
Right?
Yeah,
we're like, we either need to address this or go mm-hmm. with a different black actor. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mm. So there were changes that, you know,
and this one had references to Trump as well.
Yeah, so. This one had Trump. That's that entire section is
right,
new.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And the joke about Burnsville was of course new. But
it's not a new joke. It's new to the show.
Well stated.
I honestly think that, all of the cast was great, but having Suzanne Cross in there was honestly a bit of a stroke of luck, because instead of just one person of mixed race in that play, you mm-hmm. have two.
Yeah.
And so you have that other person who can compare and contrast a little bit and say, here, this is Duck's experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from much the same place, here's the similarities, here's the difference. Because then instead of just being Duck's experience, you had a bit more of that, like, the comparison and contrast there, which I thought was super lucky that, you know, we had her in the show as well.
She's just fantastic.
She is so good. Everybody in the show was great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm super, super, super proud of everybody involved. And,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, the day after watching that, I watched a show called Nanette on Netflix.
Oh?
Nanette is a stand-up comedy special by a Australian comedian called Hannah...
Something or another?
Or something like that, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm failing at the moment, but I...
Show notes.
But she is a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar to Duck's show, where it was a comedy, and then every so often things were less than funny.
Yeah.
Nanette is very, very much the same. It's a stand-up special by a well-known, well-regarded, very famous Australian comedian who has done sets in the past about being a lesbian, and and you kind of expect that's kind of what you're going to get, the first half of it's very funny, and then things just take a really dark turn.
Sure.
And she talks about, like, she straight up says, I think I might quit comedy. In the middle of her stand-up special.
Shit.
In the middle of her stand-up special, she tells people, I think I might quit comedy.
Yeah.
And then she goes on to explain, because I've been doing this, and I've been making fun of doing the self-deprecating humor about being a lesbian and stuff like that. And, and she goes, in many ways, that has frozen me in time, where my experience is different now.
Yeah. You know,
she's like, I have a better relationship with my mother now. But in my head, because I say this is my relationship with my mother in every show, it has a reinforced in myself that this is the way things are.
Yeah.
And she's like, because of that, because of my comedy, I have frozen myself in time. And she goes, and the self-deprecating aspects of it, it's like, that's no longer...
Yeah.
Because there are people that actually deprecate you in earnest. And, and things get very serious. She talks about the time she got, you know, her ass beat up. She talks about the time where very bad things happened to her. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't... end with a joke. She actually says that, you know, comedy requires, you know, you it's a tension, and the funny happens when you break that tension.
Right.
And she goes, I am done helping you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the tension that I live with every day. And I am not helping you. And so she doesn't break that tension. She lets you sit in it for a while. And
yeah.
Oh, sounds like a good
it is
a good like, is 1-2 punch with Duck's show.
Yeah. It is the two of them side by side, one talking about race and one talking about gender and sex identity. Seriously fucked me up. Good. Like I seriously had a lot of like the feels.
Yeah.
And I recommend both. And don't get me wrong, Nanette is hilarious. It's really funny. Don't make me, you know, think that you're gonna walk away going, like, it's really genuinely funny. And then it will bowl you over. And both of them, Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, which unfortunately you can't see anymore until they remount it.
Yeah.
And Nanette have much that same effect of they're using this humor to create this safe space where then they punch you with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
Yeah, I will definitely take a look at that.
I mean, that's the best humor, right? It's like in a way, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? Yeah. It's like, I'm going to make you laugh.
That's always been kind of my stand-up thing, is to mix in the real feels with things that I find funny. And sometimes I'll, you know, do a stand-up set about, you know, 5 to 8 minutes on farting, but sometimes I'll talk about essentially being having somebody abandon a life that we were planning together, and how I was afraid to talk about that, and that it was too sensitive to even bring in front of a stand-up audience. I did that as a set, and as I was starting out, our Stefan Senpai was like, he was like, oh, James is taking the stage. Everybody buckle your safety belts for the feels train.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, yes. And I got some laughs. I didn't get a ton of laughs on that set, but that wasn't really
the point.
The point. As I explained during the set, some part of it is also about me coming to terms with it by disassembling it to make it into a set. You also have to really fucking process it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I Also, George Bernard Shaw. Like, I did a show which was based on George Bernard Shaw's The Unsocial Socialist, and there is a quote from him that says, if you are going to try to teach anyone anything, you'd better make them laugh, or they're going to kill you.
Well, yeah, yeah. Learning is as an educator, it's a people don't like it.
Oh,
like,
my God, we have an expert.
I noticed that he said educator.
As
but he also
Zurich said Zurich educators.
Zurich educators.
Basel.
But learning, like studying in these things that they're difficult and hard things. Like when I read about the psychology of education and how does the human brain learn? I mean, learning is in some ways it's almost an injury to your brain, and that injury is your memory. You know, like you're and to that the old saying, "Old dog doesn't learn new tricks." You know, it's like, well, if you're in a rut or if you're into like a mode of the same old thing, to make yourself actually learn and comprehend something new, it's a bit of a trauma. Like, and this is why people don't do it, right? Like, people are like, "I don't want to learn new stuff."
Well, and it's because we base our existence so much on what we know to be true.
Yeah, yeah.
And get over it. No, but no, we don't know things to be true. Like, well, that's just, and to have somebody try to adjust your truth is having somebody adjust basically who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And that's scary as hell.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons that I had to fucking get rid of Facebook, why I definitely took your advice and got it off of my phone. I still have a Facebook account, and I still will check it when I feel prepared for it.
Right.
But I just...
It's like, a lot to take in. It's a...
Feeling like I'm, like, in order to check my alerts that I'm... My notifications that I'm wading hip deep into a fucking sewer system, I just can't. Yeah. Can't do it regularly anymore.
Yeah. It's understandable.
No, that's not how people are built.
I would much rather spend that emotional energy on friends, and they need it.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, do we. Oh, my God.
So, So, Chess Weekend, Closing of Pandas.
I'm pretty much wrapped up. Like, there are other things I could talk about, but... It is my podcast, but I will be magnanimous and share with everybody else.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
How about we share this libation?
Yeah. Speaking of needing to drink.
So this is the Sweetwater Brewing Company from Georgia, I think he said. Tropical Lover.
Yeah.
Berliner Weiss with mango, passion fruit, and guava.
It's definitely got like a good fruit smell, but it's also got a strong grapefruit. So
it is tart though, like you said.
Yeah, I'm only gonna take a sip, even if I do like it, because it's got melon. Did it say?
Oh yeah, there's something fruity.
Mango.
There you go. Mango. Oh, well then.
Mango,
that's fine.
Passion fruit.
All right, lava. Let's see, Troy to Troy, if your theory holds true.
Oh, that's not bad.
Hmm.
I mean, it's definitely hoppy.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Got a lot of hoppiness.
Nope.
You should have warned her.
Jenna, drink your cider.
Chock full of hot penis.
I generally, if I'm going to drink a beer, it's usually a stout.
Sure.
Because that's the least amount of... Oh, God.
Get an alternative beverage.
Get a little swish and rinse with the cider.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Yep. I have no objection to the hoppiness.
Yeah.
I'm
against hoppiness. I'm anti-hoppy.
I'm quite enjoying this. It was good.
It's pretty yummy. Pretty yummy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a connoisseur like you guys, but
well,
I'm not a connoisseur like us guys either.
That's fair.
I need to buy smaller pants and get another notch or two put into my belt.
Woo!
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
Somebody very dear to me spent a ton of time with me this weekend getting my like swank bachelor pad living room assembled. Or rather, disassembling the shitty way that it was put together before, and then assisting me with assembling it in a much better way.
So assembling the swank.
Right.
Okay.
Assembling the Swank is my new concept album.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. It's all Radiohead covers of Led Zeppelin.
I was thinking big band, but...
Oh, yeah.
I've just been on a Radiohead...
Of Led Zeppelin?
Recently.
Well, yeah.
Duh. Yeah.
Now I really want mashups.
Aww.
Of Led Zeppelin and Radiohead. So, it was, and I was talking to her about it, and I was like, yeah, I promised you we'd be doing coupley shit, but you didn't think that meant assembling IKEA furniture, did you? Joke's on you. Yeah, no.
That's actually delightful coupley shit.
I mean, this was a hand-me-down assembled furniture piece where it was not manufactured to IKEA standards, and we did not have instructions.
Wow. And,
yes, that's the best.
Yeah, so it was not just the kind of puzzle, like a logic puzzle, like this has to go this way. There was definitely some of that, but then there was also the way that they drilled this particular board, it's not spaced correctly to fit the frame.
Oh, for fuck.
No, sure.
Again. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? We're just going to loosen all this shit, and we're going to use a little good old-fashioned elbow brute force.
Hmm.
Yeah, right.
Grease.
Brute force grease?
Yeah.
You.
Yep.
Not the sex lube brand that you'd want to buy.
Brute Force Grease is a much older and less socially acceptable musical.
It's got groove and meaning.
Groove in the house.
Heather and I have tried and failed 3 times to assemble IKEA furniture. We've had to have someone come over and rescue us each time. The last time we did it, we just kept on trying to assemble, and then we had a friend come over and put it together, and we realized our main problem was that we had, it wasn't what we thought we bought. And our friend was able to put it together because she didn't have these false ideas of what it should be.
Okay.
Which would have been a dresser, but it was actually a bookshelf that we somehow grabbed.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the living room that I have now, though, like sort of lounge area. I kick it up and put it in lounge mode. Was what I had sort of hoped for, and now seeing it come to fruition is really good.
You're realizing your vision.
It's really like it's making me super happy. Yeah. So that is something else that I've been doing. Yeah. Good.
I've been... you guys are all going to Convergence, right?
Nope. Yeah.
Not so-so.
Really?
I am. Yeah.
I mean, he made the decision prior to things. Prior. But
all right.
Yeah, no, I do still have my membership. And Jessa, more importantly, Jessa has her membership. And if I don't bring her so that she can go gaming on the top floor... There will be all holy hell to deal with. But yeah, no, I'll be going.
Excellent. Well, we're gonna start set up on Monday already. So I feel like I get
fucking shit.
Convergence for like a week and a half because
right.
I do the pre and the post stuff. Have you guys been into Cinema Rex ever?
Yeah.
I have. Those couches. Goddamn, those couches.
I've grabbed popcorn before, but I have never had enough time to actually sit down and watch.
Yeah, I was talking
something.
About that. I've seen exactly half of a movie inside of Cinema Rex.
You have seen more than I
have.
Well, it's a lot of heavy couches and a lot of other stuff that we're going to slowly start assembling and hauling in. I'm really curious because I don't know all the specifics yet about, like, there's always changes that the hotel does. Like, very often they're like, oh, your carpet area has to be slightly this way or that way or something minor. But this year it's like, I have no idea what the things are going to be. They're going to be like, yeah, you're not allowed to have movies or I don't know what they're going to
be. Right?
You're allowed to have movies, but it can be one person standing up front, hired by the hotel staff, to display it on an iPad, which must be rented from this whole thing.
Listeners,
hotel staff needs to hold the remote at all times.
I can't.
Listeners, maybe we should give just a little bit of a backstory for our listeners, and allow me to try to attempt this in the most politic way possible. So, Convergence for the past 20 years has been held at what we like to call the Radish Tree, which used to be a Radisson and then
was a Sheridan
and mm-hmm. is now a Doubletree. And it's been wonderful. They've been great mm-hmm. up until a few years ago, like mm-hmm. when the hotel saw a bunch of crazy convergence people, you know, just all wacky, whatever, bizarre people that we are, and kind of went, ew. I think some of it, there was a new management thing that happened a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. And I only know about that aspect of it because for several years I ran a party room. And the hotel would charge us more for various things that we were doing for the party room and this,
yeah,
that, and
each year for a number of years, the party rooms have been going through more and more. And a lot of people have given it up because it's like, it's just not worth it anymore. It's just too much.
Too many hoops.
And it, like, for me, let me back up. So the hotel this year has decided to implement a number of very difficult changes for what we are and aren't allowed to do as a convention in their space. Mm-hmm. And it is their space. They can put down whatever rules they feel, hopefully that they feel is in their benefit as far as like safety or, you know, legality or whatever. I'm hoping that's the angle they take on it. There are thoughts that they're just trying to get rid of us, and well, good job, because we're going to be in a new place next year. But but it is quite possible that the new management is just super stickler for legalities and is trying to make sure that their butt's covered. Whatever, doesn't really matter what their intention is. The reality of it is that they have enacted so many restrictions on the con this year that it makes it difficult for us to run a convention.
Mm-hmm.
So,
A lot of real basic things just to, for people listening. Like one of the main difficulties with parties usually, like, they'll have a lot of construction and they'll put in lots of complex things and mm-hmm. the
decorations,
first decorations and themes. And it used to be lots of really complex party rooms that would have just like the Dystopia room, and there used to be all these But what
it was like walking into another world.
It was. A lot of them were. And part of the deal was that the people who put in the party rooms way back when, they would be able to have people who helped them put their room together and run the room could...
Dare you say volunteer hours?
No, we're talking before volunteer hours.
Yeah, we're talking before.
Do you want my deconstruction of this?
Oh, sure.
I've lived through all of this. Because I've run parties for the past 8-9 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I am not doing a party room this year. This was a decision before any of this stuff came down. So I was like, I hear there's a rest of a convention that exists. So I decided maybe I'd take a year off of parties and go do that instead.
Yeah. Seems like a good year for it.
Hmm. Yeah. Bullet dodge. So, in the beginning, when I started back in like 2009, 2010, running Party Room.
I started in 1999, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm super old. Sorry, go ahead.
I did attend the 1999 convergence.
Oh, yeah.
I just wasn't running a party room at that time. Mm-hmm. Then the next year I wasn't there because I was 9 months pregnant.
I wasn't allowed to drink or attend con. He was also 9 months pregnant.
Punk kid.
He looked it. So, whoa.
That was a bit young to be pregnant, James.
Well,
you don't
judge. Don't judge. Don't fucking judge.
I'm glad we all went to the same place. That's good.
But when I started, parties was an unbadged area.
Different world.
Yeah, it was unbadged, and it was very specifically, this is not an official part of the convention. This mm-hmm. is like convention adjacent. Mm-hmm. And it was a way for, I think, like legally speaking, con to be like, we're not, if somebody gets drunk in one of these rooms, it's, you know, we'll help, but it's not our, for like liability stuff mm-hmm. or whatever. But then, a few years after I started doing it, they said, well, we're going to start badging the area. And all the party hosts were like, volunteers that aren't members that help make this go, because they mm-hmm. could, because it wasn't a badged area at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when they started badging, at that point, they gave us, we had five parties only area access badges.
Mm-hmm.
So we could still bring in inside help or outside help, like five people to help make the party go.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't, you know, the best, but it worked. We made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And what was beautiful about that is that they could take those badges to registration or ops or wherever happened to be open at that time,
mm-hmm.
and be like, hey, I have this parties badge. I would like to purchase a membership at, I think it was one of the discounted membership rates,
sure.
like mm-hmm. the second yeah. to last rate or whatever, so that they could then become members and participate in everything. And there were a lot of people that did that.
A ton of people would test yeah. out the con just by going to parties, and they'd be like, this is really great. I want to buy a membership.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how it blew up into a huge con, was allowing that to happen.
It was pretty big.
They also had the performer badges. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So then, after a while, they decided they were taking away those, which were helpful, but it still wasn't as I couldn't have seven people come help with my room. I could only have five,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So then they took those away and gave us the ability to use volunteer hours, to pass out volunteer hours to people that helped with our party rooms,
mm-hmm.
Which meant we could no longer have any outside help. But right. we could try to convince current members to come help with our rooms, which was still less great, but it was still a thing that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the year they tried to take away volunteer hours completely, and boy, mm-hmm. howdy did parties uprise at that.
Yeah.
'Cause we're like, well, you have currently taken away every form of currency we have to convince people mm-hmm. to help with our rooms, and why should they?
Yeah.
Well, for the love of it, okay, people die of exposure. Like, I don't...
yeah.
In each of these phases, like, the parties lost people and lost
yeah.
people.
And, yep. And there would be parties that didn't return because it was just too hard to get the volunteers yeah. to help run it.
Well, because it's already also, like, $1,000 to $2,000...
It is.
Yeah.
...just to have the party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. While the volunteer and the badging stuff was going on...
Mm-hmm.
There was also the hotel itself had started to be pricier and pricier and yeah. put on yeah. more and more restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So parties was feeling it from like all ends.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, Cinema Rex wasn't badged. People could come in and just kind of check mm-hmm. it out and get a feel for it. And often they would buy membership badges.
Yeah.
And it's not a party room. It's a whole different thing, but...
Mm.
But yeah.
Similar but different, yeah.
Yeah,
it's more legit because there's no booze, so you know there's no.
Well, that's sort of thing too. Now the rule is, there's no booze unless you. The specifics, I believe, are you got to hire someone who works for the hotel.
Yep, you have to one hire of their bartenders. A hotel bartender. And honestly, the rates are very reasonable for a hotel bartender, but it's still pricier.
Oh, yeah.
Than.
Than having a room party and having a tip jar, and you're like, okay, I'm going to recoup some of the thousands of dollars I spend.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's just it.
Yeah.
One of the pros of having alcohol in a room party was not so that people could get drunk off their asses or mm-hmm. whatever. It was you tip for booze.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have provided
or a little bit of food. Some like people would yeah. have a stew or a snack or something.
Yeah,
sure.
So that was the thing that we could. Pretty much recoup our losses just through booze tips.
Yeah.
And if it costs you a couple $1,000s to run a party room, and now you have mm-hmm. no way to recoup those costs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're told it basically at the 11th hour.
Right.
You're told
at the last minute. That's the other thing, too, is that it's a last minute thing.
Well, yeah.
And I understand why it happened yeah. last minute. Like, I know the con was trying to work things out with the hotel, and
yeah.
there were a lot of negotiations.
Yeah, and I in no way blame fine. The con. Let's no. get this straight.
Yeah.
It's the hotel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Convergence is not a hotel, as I heard someone say. And so mm-hmm. let's keep that in mind, because Convergence will carry on. But the hotel,
Yep.
Yeah. So, and they might be doing it for completely legitimate reasons that have nothing to do with us as a convention. But again, it doesn't matter the intent. It's still affecting our ability to run
it's, a convention. You know, it's very odd because the science fiction conventions and conventions, like they have party rooms and that they have booze. Like, that's a very common thing. So it's just really weird. And the newest thing is, there's a lot of science fiction authors, for example, right? And there's sign-in tables where people will sign copies of their book or artwork or different things, and people will bring their art, whether it's a CD of some of their music or whatever. But right. Now the hotel is requiring that you cannot sell your stuff. So if you're doing a signing, you're an author, you know, you're George R. R. Martin, and you're signing off your Game of Thrones books for people as they come by, it would be as if you're like, did you bring your own book?
Yeah. Did you buy it from the hotel? Yeah. Well, and it's...
Which to me, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, when I give them the benefit of the doubt that they're doing things for, you know, what fire codes or whatever, but
sure.
these other little kind of just piddly things that are tearing away at the norms of a science fiction convention... Mm-hmm. Just seem
well and
nefarious.
One of the big things for me, I buy food from the neighboring businesses.
Mm-hmm.
For effectively the length and breadth of it, but they had a con suite. For those not familiar with conventions and con suites, the convention budgets a certain amount to provide food and serve it or set it out in a safe way for people who, you know, can't get a table over at the nearby whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually they can't keep up with the crowds. Like the other businesses, it's great for them, but they can't keep up with it because it's 7,000 people.
Well, and the other part of it is that it's not designed to be your sole source of intake. It is just purely like, hey, I've been running around being crazy for 10 hours
right.
Going to every panel, going to every party room, and I find that I'm exhausted and I just need a bowl of rice or a granola bar or something like that. And that was exactly what they had. But it is my understanding that that has effectively been shut down. And that anything that involves serving food or drink is...
I haven't heard the final details. I'm hoping, you know, like Cinema Rex, we normally have a lot of food and beverages, and I have not heard, so I can't say specifically what the final thing is going to be.
And I'm still going to the convention. I will actually be performing at the convention.
Really? In what?
Yeah. In a few things.
Oh.
I've got a panel show, and then... I will be involved in at least one of the Fearless main stage presentations.
Yay!
So I'm very excited about that. I'm also really excited to see, I believe, a bunch of our new vilifiers in a Fearless unrelated thing.
New vilifiers? Ugh.
I know.
Gross. They're
the worst. So, yeah. We will be seeing a really strong vilification tennis cast.
Oh my god!
And
yes,
I'm super excited about it.
I mean, they don't have me in it this year, so that's gonna be great.
Or me, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's bound to be better.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. High five. Boom.
Okay. At least for me, anyway. I could be drunk.
I'm just gonna. Here's the thing. I have never actually seen a vilification tennis show at Convergence.
Oh, wow.
I have
either been performing or more often I've been busy with a party room.
Sure.
So I'm going to
this year
go
this will be the year
and see it.
Yeah.
I have only watched. I have only watched
a voyeur.
Can I tell you guys a real quick little vilification tennis story?
Of course you can.
I guess.
Asshole.
It's short, but it's
well, we haven't judged you for your shortness.
The shortness, you know. Okay. What was this? 2014 or 2015 Convergence.
Story checks out.
Yeah, a vilification tennis show.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go to vilification tennis, and my ex would say that she would want to go and that I should wait and coordinate, and then she would kind of like sabotage it a bit. And so and that Convergence we had a big fight, and a big part of it was I was like, so I think that we've grown apart. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, so like I really always go to vilification tennis, and mm-hmm. you always don't want to. So like we have, and that was just like one of the many examples of how we had drifted apart.
Sure.
Mm.
So it's, to me, it's like a beautiful moment that at the next convergence.
Vilification tennis ruined your marriage.
Ha!
Bringing people together.
Not the first, I'm sure.
Bringing people together by splitting them apart.
But the story comes around, because at this convergence, I am performing in vilification tennis.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for you. Like, seriously, it's like, it is one of the best experiences you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always watched it, except for that year.
Sincere recommendation to you as a now 1 year aged veteran
to get drunk.
Oh, you're so adorable!
Fucking don't
no, don't.
Do not.
Do no, not.
Okay,
get
number
drunk.
Two. fucking. After the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
If you need to use the bathroom, you get a fucking stall. Wear sunglasses. Wear dark sunglasses and a hat that disguises your identity.
Mm. If you have a hotel room, use it.
Yeah, just and stay there a while. Just hang out.
Don't use the urinal.
Yeah, don't go to the. Just a friendly advice.
Go out, bask in because you will be
a rock star.
You will be Motley Crue. Plus
now,
like
effectively,
but you will be Sammy Hagar plus Axl Rose plus you can tell what era music I know. Rock.
Now, are you sure it's gonna be that big? Because I was in last Friday's Ville show and there were tens of people.
Yes, no.
Dave, we're talking about, and he might just be the one armed drummer from Def Leppard.
No, you will absolutely even he's a rock star. But I'm just saying,
Convergence is a sold out show.
Yeah,
that seats like what 800, 900 at that main stage now.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
In standing, yeah,
ungodly in number. Plus televised.
Oh, like, that's right.
Channel. Mm-hmm. So you will probably have well over 1,000 people watching you.
No pressure. Right. Good. Yeah.
And they love everything you say.
Oh my God.
You literally can stand up there and say.
They love everything we said.
You could probably stand up there and literally just say, Mario Brothers reference. And they would go, yay!
Because you said a thing they like. The worst insult last year, and people loved it.
Yeah.
At James, you're welcome.
As long as you make references to nerdy things, people will cheer and love you, and you walk out of there and you will be the biggest rock star. And people will be handing you drinks and patting you on the back and saying you were the best thing ever.
The day after, I went to Kaf 2E2, and somebody was like, oh my God, it's Jenna Young. She's a rock star, you guys. Let's all give her a round of applause. And I'm like, I'm just here for a latte. Thanks, guys. Like, no, it really is just a fucking bizarro world where you get to be cool for a day.
So if you have to go to the bathroom.
Whoa. What happened that I don't... someone exploded?
Private bathroom.
Who? James did.
I mean,
James, tell the story.
Okay.
The listeners have heard it before.
I was facing off with the assistance of the magnificent Gregory Parks. I was facing off against Jenna and her daughter, Jessa. And they are a force of nature.
Yeah,
Jessa is a force of nature. I'm just like...
Jenna is the eye of the storm that Jessa rotates around.
That's accurate.
I don't think I have ever felt so thoroughly beaten, including times when I was bullied in high school. And... they verbally shoved me in a locker and pooped in my backpack. And it was...
Oh, verbally.
Really, yeah, that was... we're gonna have words. I get done with this, and, like, I'm still feeling kind of jazzed, because it was a great fucking show.
It's a great show.
But I have been holding my pee since before call time. and I'm now like full. My eyes are floating, and I bustle off to the bathroom, and I'm like, I can't wait for a stall. I'm just gonna use one of the stand-ups, and I'm peeing at one of the wall urinals, and someone sidles up to me as I'm peeing, and he's like, oh, you were in that show just now. Oh yeah, you guys were super funny. I'm like, cool. peeing. And he's like,
James is very private in the bathroom.
I am,
by the way.
This is not about that kind of thing. Yeah.
I would just be shaking hands and just like hugging.
See,
and
I'm with him on this one.
That's where you meet friends.
But
you
thing is, I want to zip up before I shake hands.
You touch doodles.
So prudish.
Anyway, let him finish the story.
Yeah, but then he's like, oh, but those women, they just fucking beat. That girl is so much funnier. She's just, oh, she was way better than you guys. And I'm like,
so this is an observant person.
Yep, all right. Exactly. Yeah, someone who was at the show and watching it. So had all the details. And he was like, oh, God, she was just so fucking funny. And I was like, yeah, she is very funny. I'm going to finish peeing now. Oh, good talk. Right. Just fucking, yeah. It would have been worth the 30 seconds. Like, and in the middle of him talking, I noticed that the stall is just open, and I'm like, I could have been in there. Yeah. Yep. So, just a tidbit.
All right, a tidbit. He looked at your tidbit.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm also excited for Convergence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all of the Crackdown stuff completely aside, I'm still fucking
Convergence
excited for
is not
this.
The hotel.
Yeah. It's a people.
I will be home with the kids.
A sweaty,
yeah, I'm going to be hanging out with your wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nerdy people.
So much nerd.
I'm also going to be on call that weekend, so yay!
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Oh, sweetie.
Babysitting two things.
Pretty much.
All right.
It's not babysitting if it's your own kids.
That's true.
That's just parenting.
Okay, parenting two things.
Is it your own on call? Did you give birth to that? Were you 9 months pregnant with a laptop?
The phone did come out my urethra, yes. Did
oh, God.
Feel.
Oh, God.
Which is a lot like pulling your foreskin over the top of your head.
Yeah.
Ah, I don't have any of that, and it sounds awful. Why would you?
And then you touch doodles.
Yeah.
Boink. Oh, I don't want to touch doodles with somebody with floppy foreskin. That's awkward.
We should take a break.
Okay.
Break. Yay.
Thanks.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Dave, hey! Yay. And hey guys, I want to say super, super thank you to Troy to Troy.
Yes.
For sending us these delicious beverages, Jenna didn't like your drinks, by the way.
Shit.
I totally like your drinks.
Yeah, we may even like them a little more.
Yeah.
Look, it's not the drinks per se, it's the hops within the drinks.
Oh, see, it's not your personality, it's just, you know, a part of your personality.
Yeah, it's just the asshole part.
Yeah, look, Troy, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying that
not saying,
Jenna
just
hates
you.
I don't hate you, I like you, you're great.
But your you know what else is a delicious, do you know what else is a delicious beverage? Coffee. Coffee is a delicious beverage.
Yeah.
That even Jenna likes.
Oh, yes.
Even Jenna.
You know, I like an awful lot of things, Salsa. Not you, but...
Well, nobody likes me.
Right, yeah.
Why would they?
And if you want really, really good coffee, you of course need to go to the only place that good coffee is their just, like, motto. It's not really, but I'm making it so. And that is True Stone Coffee.
Oh. TrueStoneCoffee.com? TrueStoneCoffee.com. .com.
Wait.
True Stone Coffee.
True Stone Coffee.
.com. True Stone Coffee.
.com.
Good. And if you go to TrueStoneCoffee.com...
you can order amazing coffee!
Yeah.
It's delicious.
And you should.
You can get swag, and you can get t-shirts, and you can get glasses, and you can get coffee, and you can get beans, and you can get cold press, and you don't have to pay that much money because it is reasonably priced, and it, of course, comes directly to your door. That's right. They deliver it to you, and on the package is a date that it was roasted, so you know you're getting fresh.
Look,
fresh
I like coffee. Reasonably priced, but I really like a bargain.
You know, if you like a bargain, then you're going to love True Stone Coffee for all of the reasons I already mentioned, and also because if you go to their website and enter the promo code...
Apropos!
But it's spelled apropos.
Then you can get 10% off your order, and then you can buy 10% more coffee or something.
Or
take that other... little bit and get yourself a nice nerdy mug to put your coffee in.
Because
everybody likes a good nerdy mug to put their coffee in.
Also, they have really soft t-shirts, you guys.
Also,
their t-shirts are fucking awesome.
They really are.
And just think of how swank you would look in a turtleneck sweater drinking your Cold Stone or your cold press coffee from True Stone out of a True Stone tulip glass.
I do that all the time.
With the Nick Offerman fire log playing in the background.
If you're writing your novel in a coffee shop, that's what you want.
Yeah, it is. Do they let you bring your own coffee into coffee shops?
I've never been stopped from doing it.
A laptop playing Careless Whisper on 10-hour loop.
I've never done it, but they've never stopped me.
Out loud, not even into headphones, just out loud.
There was one day I was getting my car fixed, and I was still technically at work, and so I went around the corner to a coffee shop, and I pulled out my laptop, and I was working, and I was the entire time just ashamed of myself. Because I was on my laptop in a coffee shop, and I just felt...
Such a cliche.
You.
I did that all the time when I was doing freelance work.
I felt so gross.
I was living the life. Hipster.
I hated it. I really did. I was so happy when they called me and said the car was done. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
As was already mentioned, today's Fast Five comes to us from Troy to Troy. And he sent us a physical copy. For those, first of all, that do not know how this works, Fast Five is you. That's right, you, the dear listener, sends us five questions. The first one is nothing but the options. We do not know what any of these mean. We are only given the options and we have to make our choice. It is only afterwards that we have made our choices that we open up the second and we find out what all of it means. Again, Troy sent us a physical copy, so I have here the questions sheet with one exclamation point. Question number one.
Okay, you ready, Dave?
Whoa, yes.
James or Salsa?
James.
Aw.
Wait, James. Wait, no, James. Let me think about this. James.
Yeah, James.
James.
I'm going to say which one of us uses the fart cupboard more.
Oh, it's a toss-up.
That's a straight-up tie. You can't do that.
I was going to go with who has the longer, more luxurious hair and facial hair, and that's clearly James.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm starting to grow in some facial hair with this perimenopausal shit, you guys. Yeah,
but it's still not as glorious.
It's not as glorious.
I'm going to say you own the fart cupboard, so I'm going to go Salsa.
Okay.
I was assuming it was a food question, so I'm going to go with James.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have James on my chips.
I mean.
Whoa.
Wink?
Pico de gallo.
I love the question mark on that wink.
Question that number two.
Yeah.
Matt or Jenna?
Matt, may he rest in peace.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to go Jenna on this one, just, you know, because I'm that narcissistic.
Jenna.
I will vote Jenna.
Yay!
Okay, question. It's not a vote.
I feel the love or the hate,
voting.
Really.
I'm voting. I don't know what you guys' rule are, but I'm going to vote.
Okay.
Question number three.
That's fair.
He's redistricting.
Question number three, chicken or orangutan?
Orangutan.
What?
It's funny.
Going chicken.
Orangutan.
Oh my god, they're both hilarious. I'm having problems.
Man.
Chicken has
I'm going orangutan because now I really want a rubber orangutan. Right.
I think in the age of Trump, I don't want to say orangutan. I'm gonna say chicken.
Oh, that's totally fair. That's huh. Yes.
No, still going orangutan.
I want a rubber orangutan now, you guys.
I want a rubber orangutan for Christmas.
Oh my god, now I want to see like a knockoff of only the wacky chickens. The ridiculous orangutans or something.
Question number four. Jenna or Matt?
What? Wait.
I'm still going Jenna because I'm still that still fucking narcissistic.
You know what? I chose Matt last time. I'm going to say Jenna this time.
I chose Jenna last time, which is why I'm going with Jenna.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Also very reasonable. I see you've played Knifey Spoonie before.
I'm going to vote Jenna. Yeah.
All right.
Damn it, man.
Question number five.
Yes.
Salsa or James?
I've heard of
I'm going to go salsa with this one.
Hmm. Salsa is a better dance than James.
Mm. Do the James.
Yeah, it's just, it didn't catch on.
Do the James. Do the James.
Oh, actually, that's pretty happening.
I'm going to stay the course and stay with the vote for James.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, because I'm reading these, I'm able to see, but the first two and the last two were kind of palindromes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's James or Salsa, and the last one was Salsa or James. And then the second was Matt or Jenna, and the fourth was Jenna or Matt.
Right.
Which means chicken or orangutan.
Just kind of fucked it all up.
Yeah.
God damn it. God damn it.
So we'll find out, I suppose, when we look at the second sheet that says context!
What?
Two question marks.
Exclamation points. I know English is hard.
Okay.
What?
Zurecht.
Ja, das stimmt.
Ja.
Es ist doch Zürich.
Es ist einen Automaten.
Zürich.
Je ne parle pas français.
Wow, that was the most southern Zürich.
Thank you, yeah. Zürich de Soleil.
You ain't from around Zürich, are you?
You did say it was a southern... All right.
Although the southern Switzerland is the Austrian part, and so we don't...
Wow.
Don't be so bloody Prussian.
What's the context?
The context is... Question number one, James or Salsa. Who will Jenna have replaced next?
Oh,
it's her podcast after all.
I think I'm going to have to switch to Salsa.
I think probably me. It'll probably me be...
I think I was right,
Yeah.
But we're at Salsa's plate? Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's moved before.
We'll still record here. He's just not welcome. Right.
Yeah,
I'll just leave the back door open.
He shouldn't put ideas in his head. Like, I see this shit foaming inside, and he's like, yeah, this is sounding great.
So I'll just... So I could be upstairs playing video games?
Yeah, I'll just unlock the door, let you fuckers in, and then tell you to fuck off when it's time for me to go to bed.
And occasionally I come down here, and there's more booze than when I left, so...
Shit.
We didn't think this through.
No.
James, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to replace you now.
Yay! The correct answer is I'm going to have to replace me too.
With what?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
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 Que pasa?
All right.
Queso pasa.
Queso?
Viacon
queso.
Question number two, Matt or Jenna, who would win at a game of whack-a-mole?
Me.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jenna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Would also be a lot more entertaining to watch play whack-a-mole.
The thing is, I have done the quick draw drawdown face-to-face against her. She didn't just beat me, she beat the high score on my system. So that is...
Yeah, I've got my reflexes are way better than Matt's.
Yeah, she plays with knives and swords. She knows how to do that quickly. Question number three. Chicken or orangutan? Would you rather fight a chicken to the death every time you got into your car or fight an orangutan to the death once a year but you get a sword?
Orangutan.
Clearly the chicken.
Chicken. 100%.
Orangutan.
Well, even if I have a sword, orangutan, fuck no.
You guys have no idea how much money I spend on swords. I'm fighting the orangutan.
I mean, this is a good purchasing decision.
Yeah.
But
also, I'm going to own that fucking orangutan. Are you kidding me?
I feel like you could. I'm not as confident about myself.
I know.
Just consider consider your diet and what you're going to eat anyway. So, orangutan.
Okay.
I'm going with the chicken because every time you get into a car, you get a chicken.
Yeah. Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner.
You get a bloody, nearly dead chicken. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's fresh.
It's not nearly dead. I'm fighting
dead.
To the death.
Seriously, you kill it and you throw that thing
I wouldn't
spit.
Feel worse about killing an orangutan than a chicken.
Also
I'm not going to lie.
Also, chickens that is are cute factor. From a distance.
But you guys have no idea how much money I spend on swords.
Or orangutans. I have any idea how much money you spend on orangutans.
I currently none. And
I mean,
that trend looks to continue.
Here's the thing, though: it's once a year.
Yeah,
but
orangutan Christmas.
But here's the thing: is it only takes once?
Yeah,
it really only takes once because one year you kill the orangutan. The next year you kill the orangutan. You know, 5 years you kill the orangutan. 10 years you kill the orangutan. One day, one mistake. That's all it takes.
Uh-huh.
You're fucked.
Uh huh.
I'm sorry, but if a chicken and I have a fight to the death, I really don't fear for my chances.
Yeah.
I mean orangutans aren't big assholes, fighters, but, though. Of the apes, orangutans?
I think you just pull your arms out of the sockets. Yeah, they're incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are bigger than you expect. And their reach is amazing.
Yeah, but they're so trusting.
Yeah, they don't seem quick to anger. I think that you could lure them in
psychologically fucking with
them. Whereas a chicken is extremely quick to anger and will come at you like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the chicken in this scenario?
Chickens are actually assholes most of the time. Like, yeah. I've seen pet chickens that are cute and and snuggly, and that's great.
To be fair, like, that's one of the reasons why I'd feel worse about killing the orangutan.
Yeah.
Because I know, I'd just be like, hey, sweetie, how's it going? Stab.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Just Sam Fisher that. Just.
Aww.
Yeah.
But sword, you guys. Oh, God.
Yep.
Would it be against the rules to kill a chicken with a sword?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say you can't use a sword.
So you could sword a chicken.
Get a sword.
All the time.
But I wouldn't get any swords for killing the chicken. I just get chicken. Yeah.
You just have to supply your own. Just every time you walk out to your car.
If the key decision on this is that it's that you're getting a sword, what if it's a sword you already own? What if they're just making sure? Yeah. Does that
change? I'll end up with 17 scimitars over the course of the years?
No. Okay. Seriously, you guys, this is what you do.
Yeah.
You go with a chicken.
Okay.
And then you park your car in front of a food bank. And walk to the car, you get a chicken, you bring it in. You walk to the car, get a chicken, bring it in.
Yeah.
Walk to the car, get a chicken, bring it in. Walk to the car, get a chicken, bring it in.
Seems really tedious, though. Like, really repetitive. Can you switch it off? Like, every other year, you, switch the animal just to, change it up?
Sometimes you walk to another car to confuse the chicken.
It does say your car.
It does say your car.
So it has to be
every
my car.
Every time you got into your car.
I still get into my car 4 to 6 times a day. Shit.
That's a lot.
I
drive a lot.
But fried chickens.
Most people do.
But if you hop on your bike and go to the nearest bus stop,
no problem.
No chicken.
No problem.
Nope.
Mm.
I'm just saying you could monetize the chicken.
Yes.
Ooh, then I can buy more swords.
Yes.
I could probably buy more swords than killing an orangutan.
Yeah.
Okay, nope, I'm switching to the chicken.
Yeah. My greatest fear is just that the orangutan is going to grab the sword out of my hand.
And you're done.
And then just beat the shit out of me with the sword.
Yep.
And stab me, and just, it's done.
And it only takes once. Again, it only takes once.
The tiger only has to catch you once.
Yep. All right, question number 4. Jenna or Matt? You need to get to the hospital immediately. Who would you rather drive you there?
Jenna.
Same answer, Jenna.
I'm pretty sure that Matt knows where the hospital is, though.
He has a smartphone.
There.
That's true.
I honestly, I am going with Matt.
Oh, yeah?
Because I feel like if I wanted to get to the hospital right now,
yeah,
I needed somebody who was not going to care about driving laws or not driving on the sidewalk
or
things like that.
You've never ridden with me, Salsa.
I have not.
It's true. Like, yeah, Jenna's far too responsible. Capable.
And I feel like if anyone tried to pull her over, she would project manage them into like fucking
I don't drive sane. Like okay. Let's
I've been in a car with Matt. So that's kind of why I was going that way.
No,
I've been
in a car Matt and Matt, I actually drive driving. Very similarly. Honestly. Like okay. I've been in a car case, with Matt
Jenna.
Too, so.
Yeah.
In that case, Jenna. Huh? Question number 5, Salsa or James? When translated into English, who has the better name? Sauce or Blonde Child?
On the one hand,
I gotta go James.
Blonde Child has a very Aryan innocence about it.
See, I immediately went to Neverending Story. Blonde Child!
It's however,
just like yelling at Blonde
Sauce is in fact a very saucy name.
Mm.
By definition.
Ooh. Salsa.
Well, now that Salsa's done that, I'm definitely going with Blonde Child.
Oh, alright.
No, it's Blonde Child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll stick with Sauce.
Hey, Blondie.
I vote for Blonde Sauce.
Blonde Sauce?
Blonde Sauce.
Ooh. Alright.
I mean,
may I get those chips with a nice Blonde Sauce?
Blonde Sauce.
Wouldn't that be a white sauce?
Only in Zurich.
I don't know why that was a thing, but okay.
I don't know why it's a fucking thing either, but
it's a beautiful city.
I have my
very
it
clean.
Is gorgeous. It's legitimately
the cleanest
Zurich
place.
Is amazing.
And it's a Switzerland is a very rich place, so everything is kind of nice, but shiny.
It's so good.
Yeah, I got a bottle of water that was $12.
Oh.
Pricey amazing. Place. The hot chocolate was as thick as pudding. It was delish.
Yeah, no, they do have one of the highest standard of living of any country in the world, but they also pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
But everybody makes a lot of money, too, so it all goes back into the economy. Right, America?
Who'd have thought?
Shit, I don't want to get into this right now. I got to go to work after this.
Time to get into this.
Look at the time. Oh, okay.
Thank you so very, 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 very much, Detroit to Troy. If you would like to send a Fast Five in, all you need to do is send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Send
those.
Thank you. Send 2 of them, like I said. Send the first one will be nothing but the choices, and the second one will be repeating the choices and including the context. If you are sending in more than one Fast Five, please make sure you give them different subject and lines. Otherwise,
they thread awkwardly.
The Chrome Gmail will thread them, and that makes it difficult for everyone. Thank you so very, very much to our guest.
Yes.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you so much for spending the money and being a chump to to be on this show.
I mean, I would have just had you back.
Fire Salsa from
also
marketing.
That.
He was in marketing?
Hey, I gave him a t-shirt. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, fair. Enjoy.
Of course, if you get us a physical copy like Troy did... Or if you bribe us, like Troy did, yours will go to the top of the queue. We do have another physical copy that will be coming to us next week. But after that, we have nothing, and so we need you send stuff in. That's right. You don't have to send us a physical copy or send us a bribe. You can just simply send 2 emails. It is that simple. And they don't have to be amazing. We will fuck it up, and we will be irreverent no matter how
good or bad
they are.
Did you hear how long we talked about orangutans and chickens?
Exactly.
You don't
ridiculous orangutans.
These questions do not have to make sense or be well thought out or have a theme. Or
as a matter of fact, the weirder they are,
the harder they fall.
What?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Case in point. Is there anything else people would like to plug?
July Lab is going to be the Minnesotan Pot Roast. It's going to be Minnesota-based comedy, making jokes about Minnesota and Minnesotaning. We have a list of confirmed performers that is fucking stellar, including someone who has never worked with us before.
Cool.
Is currently slated to be there. So we will look forward to all of that. Oh, and the last weekend of chess, of course.
I was about to say, I feel like you're forgetting something vitally important.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I actually don't have anything lined
finally
up after
got
chess.
Your busy season.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Dave, anything you want to plug? Line.
Just Convergence and Vilification Tennis show at Convergence, and go to Cinema Rex. You know, if you go to Convergence, of course you'll go to Cinema Rex. Like, only a crazy person would just swing by and not spend time in Cinema Rex.
I'm sorry. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, my God.
I will own the crazy label, honestly.
Having been there, it is a good time.
Yeah. Do I have anything? I don't think I have anything coming up here right now.
Be sure to send a fast five during his on-call week. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, thank you so very much to our dear guest for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode. And of course, eat the fucking cake.
I love Bye-bye. You. Bye, bye, bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.